B-Pod Studios.
Zolak. And Bertrand.
This is a Homer show. We are overwhelmingly positive. Bunch of honks.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Very, very positive sports show.
98.5.
Guilty as charged.
The Sports Hub.
That's the phone number for you. You want to jump on board? Thanks for doing so. Kathleen in Salem, you're up next. Take it away.
Hey. So I'll ask the question. I'll hang up and listen to your answer. So Jake DeBrus seems like he possibly could be a cancer in the locker room. So how do you guys think his teammates are looking at him right now? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
I think he has complete business. That's how. I think these guys are wired differently than other sports. They get it. There's guys that complain, and not necessarily here with the Bruins, but you've seen it across the league. Guy wants a trade. Next thing you know, the team's keeping him. He's got a stick. He's got to play. I'd be more concerned with Tuukka Rask being there and how that's mentally affecting the goalie and how they as an organization have allowed this to sort of manifest itself. I'd be more concerned with that than the DeBrus thing, wouldn't you, Beetle? Like, if you're in the league and you get it and you've been around and you've been with Jake for 5 years – 5 years plus, you're like, all right, it's not working here, and you know it. And he's been up on the ninth floor. You would want a fresh start for him. He would. I think they understand it. Don't you?
I think they don't care because he's a third, fourth line player.
Yeah, this isn't like Krejci asking to be, dealt a year or two ago.
Right.
Not that he was, but you had those undertones like, well, you don't put good people around me, then let's move on. You know? I don't feel that way. He plays the other night, not a problem. You know, I'm sure they felt for him getting booed. Nobody wants to get booed.
Yeah, I mean, a guy who's on the fourth line is getting booed because he wants a trade. All right, well, guess what? The guys in the locker room look at him and say, well, he's on our fourth line. Like, you know, it's not
It's not
David Pastrnak saying he's done with Boston.
Right.
And he doesn't want to play here anymore. It's just a little different. I mean, it's almost like the
yeah, I mean, to call him cancer in the locker room is a little strong.
Yeah, I don't like that word.
I don't either. Word. I don't
sort of move. I think we've sort of moved on from that word.
Yeah, we don't recognize
when it comes to locker room problems.
Yep.
Yeah. Now I lost my train. Oh, it's like Ennis Freedom.
Hey, Freedom.
Is he a distraction? No, he's not good enough to be a distraction.
Right.
right. If it were Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, I'd say, oh, that could be a little distracting.
Like we had Udoka on. I wanted to ask him more about the name than the damn thing that he stands for, any interview that he does, and does that create a problem? Because I don't think he's not a polarizing player, right? You know what the answer is going to be. Yeah, you know, guys can say whatever they want. You know, it's not even worth asking the question. Because
yeah,
I don't look like that guy's going to have that much of an impact.
I'm sorry. And here's the thing. I just think that in most situations, if you're a good guy and you get along with your teammates, and that's not the reason that you're asking for your trade, then it's probably not going to be that big of a deal. If it were him just being a jerk and everyone hating him in the room, and that's why he's asking for a trade, then it's different. But by all accounts, everyone enjoys being around Jake DeBrus. They think he's a good guy. And
We've had him on.
Our limited dealings with him, though, he's been a really good guy.
Yep.
And, you know, easy to talk to. And
funny, gets it.
And
yep.
Funny, you know, all that stuff. So if he's a good guy in the room, I don't think it matters. They look at it and say, well, that's unfortunate. But I don't think his teammates are going to take it personally.
And plus, you live it. Those guys live it. They know that he's not going to be effective or help them. So they're probably ready to move on, too, and be happy for him to be, you know, continuing to play in the league.
Look at all the guys on this team that have bounced around with other teams.
Yeah.
That have not played for I know that doesn't apply to Pastrnak or Patrice Bergeron or Marchand, but there's plenty of guys on this team that have played for a bunch of different teams.
Look at Forbert. He can't even get ornaments for his tree. You know? He has to borrow his mother's phone.
That's because he chooses not to get the ornaments.
It is. It's a cocky move.
That's not because he can't. Peter's in Maine. Hey, Peter.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I want to get back to what I think is the big question that I raised, couple days ago. You guys never answered the question. The question is, what about Indianapolis?
What about I'm in Buffalo week right now.
Yeah, no. But I'm saying, you know, if we come through the weekend, Indianapolis is still the top scoring team in the AFC. Their record is, you know, that's just it.
We agree. They're a really good team. They're playing some of the best football in the conference right now.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
They should have put Tampa away. That game was there for the given, and Tampa took it from them.
And so let's, you know, Peter's brought this point up multiple times this week that he thinks the Indianapolis game is a really tough game that's coming up next week. And
it's not a challenging environment, though. It's not like Buffalo. I think it's two totally different animals. You'd be playing inside. That fan base sucks. They sit on their hands. They wave their foam fingers. It's like, hoo-hoo, I got shakers. I'm at the game.
Okay, but that aside, when they go to Indy in 2 weeks after the bye.
Yep, Lucas Oil. You got 2 weeks to get ready for them.
You got a couple of weeks to get ready for them. And
Jamie Collins back. You have a couple other guys back. Hopefully you have no COVID issues on your team. Hopefully this thing doesn't spread.
Can I tell you that I like that game is indoors? And it's not the worst thing in the world to be going and playing a game in the dome.
Right.
You know, who takes bigger advantage of that? I think the Patriots could.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, I get it. I do. I think it's, you know, big game. And I said the odd part about this four-game stretch of Buffalo twice and the Titans and Colts is that the teams that maybe you thought were not going to be the toughest tests in this stretch have become that, and the Colts were one of them. The Titans, it turned out, it has not been the case because the Titans are very much injured. So
Colts are built well, and it's all going to be predicated on how Wentz plays in that game.
I think there's a chance the Colts give them the best game in the stretch.
Yeah.
Out of the four games.
Yeah.
But Buffalo's best shot is Monday night. At home, Monday night football, they've got the weather on their side, all of that. Are they built for it or not? We're going to find out. We're also going to talk to the head coach of the UMass football team, Don Brown. He'll be with us on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Paulie in the truck.
The audience loves him so much.
Dude, I love you.
It's kind of creepy.
Dude, you got me mesmerized, and I hang on every freaking word you say.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
What's that thing you're always saying there, Milliken? Injected into my veins.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. With that Red Sox music of yours.
Dancing on my own.
Oh, what'd you turn it down for?
Why don't you go dance on your own?
What'd you turn it down for? Thank you. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcome in the... I was going to say new head coach of UMass football, but it's the head coach of UMass football
right.
Who's making his big return to UMass. That would be Don Brown joining us now. Coach, how are you?
Doing great. Doing awesome, actually. It's nice to be a college football coach and be out in the road recruiting again. And, you know, we were able to get out a little bit during the bye weeks this fall. But, you know, recruiting's at 100 miles an hour now, so it's nice to get in and renew acquaintances and meet new young people in schools. So it's been good.
So you're already out there across New England seeing coaches?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how's it been so far? Because, you know, I would say nobody recruits New England better than you, and you know all these guys. Are they happy to see you?
Without question. It's like old home week when you walk in. You know, you sit down, you gotta catch up for the first 15 minutes or so, and then you're down to meeting some great young people across New England.
All right, Coach, we really appreciate you taking the time. At some point, we could do a live broadcast out there in Amherst. At some point, we could get out there.
We're rooting for that.
Figure that out at the hangar or something. We got enough bars. You know, Beetle went to UMass. I'm a little connected to the program. So,
no question.
What's the first thing that you said, boy, this is the one thing that I need to make my number one priority when I become the new head coach there, as you are right now? What's the one thing that's the priority for you?
Priority is to get all the students on campus at every football game and encourage them to come in droves and support their the University of Massachusetts football team. That's one of my number one goals in terms of external, is to get everybody involved and, get behind our players. Secondly, winter workouts will be absolutely at a premium, and I can't wait till I'm running the mat room again in the winter and chasing the guys around, and that's when I'm at my best. So those are the couple things. Get us in tip-top shape so we can prepare for conceptually, for spring practice, and really get all the students on campus back behind the football team.
So, go ahead, Beetle.
Go ahead, Zoe. No, go ahead.
I just want to bring up two names that by some chance are two regular interviews throughout the course of each week of the football season. Number one is Chase Winovich, and the other one is Josh Uche.
Wow.
What do you got on
They're
those
both
two?
Both on our show.
Yeah, what do you got on those two, those two guys? Anything good?
I'll tell you what. The one thing that both of the – well, Chase had some – Chase was an interesting guy
when he was
on the Michigan campus.
Yeah.
Oh, you should hear him on this show.
But I'll tell you what they both could do.
Yeah.
Both of those guys could rush the passer and enjoyed the process. Trust me. Those two guys were born to rush the passer, and just so glad they're with Coach Belichick and the New England Patriots.
Well, Chase said that he is very happy to have you in the area and that he promised that he was going to make it out to a game.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Chase told us he's coming to see you, and he even may have busted your chops a little bit, referencing your mustache. He said whether it's the mustache, his pregame speeches, I love the man. That's what he said. So he's looking forward to making it out.
The one thing I guarantee you that I have that he doesn't have is a mustache. I have the best mustache, for sure, without question. He has a great family. My wife's very friendly with his mom, and, just a great family, and I'm just so happy for his success, and he and Josh both, obviously that they both play for my Belichick, so it's all good.
How much will you use and rely on guys that you've coached that have made it to the next level to help you recruit? And I remember Charlie Weiss did this with Brady, and he would have Brady always, that's a different level, having Tom call kids, when you're sitting there in their living room. But how much will you rely on all your previous, experiences with people to help them sort of close deals if you need them?
Well, that it's a nice thing to have. But the NCAA is pretty stringent on, those rules. So you got to be careful how you're going about doing your business. And the worst case scenario would be you don't want to get one of the young men that you're recruiting in trouble. So and get yourself in trouble. But it's a shame that we're not allowed to utilize those guys more. But obviously, then when they're on campus, they're allowed to spend time. But you got to be careful on the approach you take.
So, Don, when you were at BC and when you were at Michigan as well, and you were recruiting some of the top kids to come out of New England and in Massachusetts, and they were choosing those schools, how do you get some of those top kids in New England to choose UMass now as opposed to going to one of those bigger schools? How can you flip someone that's in that position?
Well, obviously they've got to have a want to stay at home, and you got to kind of figure that one out as you're going through the recruiting process with the young man and his family. You can almost tell, the ones that you're going to have a hard time prying out of Massachusetts. Yeah, because they just have an affinity for, one school in particular, or mom or dad has gone to one of those schools. So part of it is just making sure you're making good decisions on who you're trying to pick, you know, to keep in state. You know, obviously that's the huge challenge. We need to be able to keep the good players in state. And my biggest hope is I've got a very strong group of guys that I'm friendly with. And, you know, when you've been recruiting New England for over 40 years, you build strong relationships. And you rely on those relationships when you're going through the recruiting process, for sure. And two, you make sure, even if you're not going to recruit a guy, that you give the high school coaches respect and evaluate the young man if you feel like, you know, even if he's close to being a guy that you could go after.
When you take over a program, and I'm real big on tradition, and you know, instead of rolling out 20 different uniforms, are you going to go back? Yeah, this is a uniform question. I love this. I was thinking maybe you must just go with the all whites and go back to the throwback logo and just say, hey, we're wearing this every freaking Saturday. You going to do anything? You going to do any uniform tweaks?
I love those. I love the older logo, one that we wore when we were in '98 when we won the national title. I love that logo, and it was they handed me a helmet with that logo on it yesterday, and I don't know, my hands started to warm up. I had a good feeling around my heart. So yeah, there's no question. I have good feelings about certain uniforms.
There it is. Don Brown says it. The curse of you is here to stay.
Love it.
The curse of you. that's what it is. We're talking with Don Brown, head coach at UMass, back now for the third time. And I know that for you, this is coming home. This is an actual homecoming, not just coming home in the sense that you're coming back to UMass, but this brings you closer to home, your family, all that has to be a nice benefit of this too.
No question. It's, you know, very seldom professionally do you get to go full circle. Well, I've gone full circle. So, you know, first stint as a coordinator for Mark Whipple, you know, second stint, you know, was head coach for myself. And now here I am again, being a head coach, and I'm very fortunate. Ryan Bamford, has given me this opportunity. And, I know this, we're going to work tirelessly to make all the UMass fans, alumni, and players, you know, very excited about our program.
Coach, my last one for you. I was there at the last home game. Was in the weight room. It's an awesome weight room, I think.
Yep.
I've seen the indoor facility, the facilities that you have, and everything that it's at your disposal. Do you feel that you have enough to lure these kids in to help compete, you know, at the level you want to compete at?
I think the facilities have been upgraded, and they're very, very solid. You know, obviously, I think the field would be something that we might need to address. I'm not saying the stadium, I'm saying the field.
Field. In what way?
Interesting.
I think we're about due for an upgrade, you know, obviously there's a short lifespan for those fields, and you know, I think we're getting close.
Yeah, it is short and tight. Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You got to pay attention to it. But
it's already checking that out, Beetle. I love it. Love it.
Well, I'm confident Ryan Bamford will do a good job good care of us. But our facilities are second to none.
You know, I did want to ask you about the transfer portal because that gets so much attention now.
Oh, God.
In college football.
Here we go.
I know.
and right in college, everything right now, transfer portal. It's what everyone's talking about.
Look at Chip Kelly.
I actually talked to a college coach who will remain nameless who said that they grind on that thing all day, like refreshing and seeing what's coming through. And it's just sort of fascinating how that's sort of become a thing. So I'd ask you, when you're looking at the transfer portal, what are you targeting there? Are you targeting older players? Are we talking fifth-year guys, guys that are upset with their, you know, younger players? What is it? What are you looking for on the portal now?
Well, I was asked that question last night, and I'll tell you, the important thing is trying to develop depth in your roster and develop, you know, you got your young guys, then you got your veteran guys, and your guys that can provide leadership. So when you look at one position group, for example, I talked about the inside linebackers last night. You know, when you look at that position group, if you feel, for example, that you might need a veteran presence, a guy that could come in and give immediate help, you certainly don't want to rush a freshman into that role and, you know, impact his confidence level and really push him too fast. So it's nice when you can utilize the portal to, you know, kind of help you stopgap, you know, your scenario. And it for me, it reminds me of, you know, back in 2004 to 2008, we had at one point 16 1A transfers on our team.
Ooh.
And I think what's happened is the transfer portal has replaced, because, you know, that rule is not incumbent anymore, where 1A players had to transfer down.
Right, to sit out, not sit out.
1AA football to be eligible. So now the transfer portal is basically everybody is available to you as long as you're willing to, you know, put the time and effort in. But what you're saying about people keeping an eye on that transfer portal, it's people are being assigned. That's their job, to make sure that people are, you know, that you're evaluating in case there's somebody there that, A, you may have crossed in recruiting, or B, that you consider a necessary, you know, improvement for your team.
And I heard you mention Twitter last night, too. Everyone's got to watch Twitter. Watch Twitter and watch the portal.
Unfortunately, that's how it breaks usually. You know, the old, hey, I'm now in the transfer portal. Well, go to Twitter. You might catch that one and be the first guy, you know, the first guy to make the call. So keep an eye on Twitter.
All right, Coach. You mentioned Whip earlier. Whip always had the open invite here on Zolak and Bertrand, and you do too.
Yep.
So anytime you want to swing
Whip came in and sat with us for, what, 2 hours one day?
Oh, God, he hung out. Great. We couldn't get rid of the guy, but we love him.
He's the best. He's my man.
All right, Coach. Well, we appreciate your time today, and good luck out there recruiting.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Bye-bye now.
Take care. Don Brown, head coach at UMass.
Once he hates
again.
Us.
Returning.
He hates us already.
Who?
No, he's kidding. We got to get out there, dude. Hey, how about him already knowing that the field needs to be replaced? Like, little things like that.
Yeah.
I noticed that out there. Like, it's not a long turf. It's a real, it's a real tight turf. Thin.
He's an easy coach to like, so. Very detailed.
Team already met him. They're ready to go.
Yeah?
Yep.
You hear, what was the feedback you heard about that meeting? He mentioned it last night in his press conference. He said it was very colorful. And I think the boys were a little fired up there.
I think you're going from like night. You're going from daytime to nighttime. It's like,
well,
that,
wouldn't it be the opposite? Big you're going difference. From nighttime to daytime.
Same thing. Whatever. Up. It's just contrasting differences. Yes, big ones.
Wake up.
So they said, we better get our asses in line. That's all they know. Better get ready.
Yep. All right. Our thanks to Coach Brown. We got the headlines here with Hardy. We're back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hardy, a lot of good responses for your pickle.
Excuse me?
I think that would be really weird.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oi!
Shout out to friend of the show, Anthony Falco, on this one, who alerted me to this yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's since yesterday sort of blown up as a story. And that is the Home Alone house located at 671 Lincoln Avenue.
I was there.
In Winnetka, Illinois. Is now available to rent. They're renting it out on Airbnb. And as of yesterday, the price was listed at $25.
You know what? I wouldn't give this guy a time of day, this new owner. He was an a-hole. He didn't like me taking pictures in front of his house. Because I stopped traffic. I got out with the kids, and we took pictures in front of the house. I'm like, you bought the freaking Home Alone house. What do you think is going to happen? Like, he sends the dogs out. Then he comes out with the leaf blower. And he's standing there by the fence just trying to mess it up. Look at me. Look how much fun I had there in Chicago. There I am. Well, that's where Kevin McAllister lives. He ordered a pizza. The delivery boy slid the van right into that Hardy, that iron thing they had in the front, knocked it over. And he had to put it on the back step and take the money. Where's the tip? No tip. AC said 10%. You know? If I'm going to Chicago, I'm going to take a picture there. That guy needs to get with it. And he was a jerk. Now all of a sudden he's going to put it on Airbnb. Now it's a problem.
So,
my kids are so excited.
However, they're making the home available. And this is why yesterday when I saw this, and I was talking to, again, friend of the program, Anthony Falco. If you're in the Foxborough area, you're trying to sell a house, that's the guy you want to call. I was like, is this a gag? Like, what is this? Well, what is the setup? I don't understand it. It says $25. And it says coming soon. It's not actually available for booking. Here's what it is, though. Oh, this is good. Keep this music going.
Yeah. One night, right?
They're going to be opening the booking December 7th at
Pearl
2
Harbor
p.m.
Day. Yes.
December 7th at 2 p.m., they're going to open the booking, and that's basically going to create a lottery. Ooh. Of thousands of people trying to book it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And by booking it, they will have the one night that they are going to lend out the house to someone to do whatever they want to do.
Will the Sticky Bandits be there?
Now, the write-up for it is very creative.
What are you looking at?
I thought they were the Wet Bandits.
I thought they were the Sticky Bandits. No, the Wet Bandits. Wait a minute.
Wet Bandits the first one, Sticky Bandits in the second.
Then they changed the name.
Oh, okay. So I got to watch the movies again. I haven't seen them in a while.
That's what they're doing. They're going to be
good
opening
Christmas
up
music
the house,
movie.
And they've posted pictures inside the home.
I'd want to stay in the attic.
They've made the home look exactly like it did in the movie.
Shut up.
Right.
That's the big story.
That's the big draw.
Throwback now, 80s movie.
Did the people who own the home while the movie was being made, they bought it
look at that.
In 1988. Do you know what they paid for it in 88?
I don't know that market, so I don't know where it is in relation
88,
to
88, I'm going
to
say 450. It's very close. 450,000.
Okay. So it's a massive house, brick home, beautiful.
About 20 minutes from the city, yes. So
in 1988, they paid $875,000 for this house.
Wow. It's all brick.
When they tried to sell it in 2011, they listed it at $2.4 million.
And they got it?
Only got $1.58.
It's not a great return.
That's a terrible return.
Yikes.
That's awful.
So, did they build the house in 88?
No. Originally built in the 1920s, the home was owned by John and Cynthia
Abendingen
when the film was made.
So it's an older neighborhood with older established homes. And it's
oh, God,
not
yeah.
built to look old. It's
no,
old.
So old homes on top of old homes. Okay. So you're like 8 feet apart. Yeah.
30 minutes from Chicago.
And so the thing is with the home, they did not shoot the film in the house. They recreated the house in a high school gym or soundstage there. Like they rebuilt that house.
Oh! I went by the church too, where he took the knee where he was with the shepherds.
Yeah.
When he hit from the guy with the shovel and the boots, and when the Sticky Bandits were looking for him.
Yeah.
That church is literally like two blocks from the house. So they filmed stuff at the house, and they went right to the church.
Yeah, because the couple said, they told the Chicago Sun-Times that they camped out in the four-room master suite during the six-month movie shoot while the rest of their home was used for filming.
No, there's an entire Netflix show on them not using the house for shooting.
Well, what were they doing for 6 months then?
Beats the hell out of me.
Oh, I got a nice check for that, I bet. But that movie made, good God. This makes you want to go shopping.
I don't know. I'm looking at like stills of the house, stills of the movie.
What?
They had to have shot a bunch of stuff in the house.
Sure they did. Of course they did. Like this opening scene and when the cops came in and think about it.
It's exactly,
when they're coming down,
it's exactly the same if you were going to.
Because when Joe Pesci dressed up as the cop and he came to the front door, they're shooting that from down the stairwell. And then the airport scene, all that stuff. When they were all just running around trying to find all their stuff, that was in the house. Did that awful kitchen with the tile countertops with the white grout. That's terrible. You know what they have, Hardy? You know what these houses in Chicago have?
It appears that they used the actual first floor for filming, but director's name was Christopher Columbus.
What the hell is he doing there? I thought he was dead.
Christopher Columbus talked in an interview about recreating the second story on a soundstage in a high school gym.
He founded America.
So they did not use the bedrooms. They recreated the second floor.
You know what's weird about all the houses in Chicago like that? There's garages that are separate in the back of the house.
Detached.
You have to drive. Yeah, you have to drive down the driveway, right? And the driveways really separate houses there. So it's boom, 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 right on top of each other.
There's plenty of houses here in the Boston area that have detached garages.
Christopher Columbus, by the way, did a bunch of movies.
My last house had a detached garage.
Did it?
Yes.
Yeah.
What are you doing a snowstorm?
You walk out to the garage and open it.
That sucks.
Christopher Columbus wrote Gremlins, The Goonies. He directed, Home Alone, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Ooh, good movie.
Couple of Harry Potter movies.
Awful. So, December 7th at 2 o'clock, we got to try and get the house, right?
We got to try it. We'll do it.
We'll try.
You can try and get it for your kid's birthday. I'll try and get it for my kid's birthday.
Yeah.
We got two birthdays that day, buddy.
Okay, then. We'll do our best.
Good luck.
Everyone's going to try and do that.
What do you think it's going to cost?
What?
It's not going to be $25.
It is. It's $25. That's what it's going to be. It's like a promotion. They're going to have Buzz host. And all
I would want to stay up in the... up in the attic where Kevin slept.
Okay.
Before the
Well, you can do that once we get the house.
Will there be a tarantula there?
I hope so.
It says in the listing, please watch out for my tarantula because it's hosted by Buzz. It's like a whole thing. It's like
awesome.
It's all
like,
bit.
Good.
It's all, yeah. It's got a bunch of shtick to go along with it. I'm out.
Today's takeaways. Of course you're out.
I'm in.
I'm out.
Get in the holiday spirit, Hardy.
Yeah, Hardy.
Nah.
You Scrooge.
Nah.
Today's takeaways are...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mission today.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
smelled
it. You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub. They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, it is time for today's takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, an approved expense for both HSA and FSA accounts. You can use those pre-tax dollars before the new year hits you. Reserve your consultation today at Awaken180WeightLoss.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've left ourselves with very little time again today.
All right, well, why don't we play it?
What do we got? Go.
Play it. I don't know how it is when you read fiction, Hardy. But I do enjoy a strong physical description of the characters.
It's amazing.
Well, it depends on the genre of fiction.
Whatever it is.
You got to describe the character. It's amazing how those sex books sell. Those.
Oh, and by the way, this book has plenty of sex. It has sex right on page one.
The women, the women's books, like the, you know,
her
the
guy that's heaved.
His yes, the loins throbbed.
It's all the things guys look for in a book: murder, mystery, sex, drugs, football. Got
you
it
can
all.
Feel the thrusting.
It's got all these things,
right? And you're like, oh my god, this is a dirty book. Like, you ever pick up one of your wife's books and look at it? Like, wow, what the hell's going on here? The Russian.
That's Casey Sherman says, Gary Tangway's gripping thriller, The Arm in the Fall, hits you like an adrenaline shot to the arm, jam-packed with rich characters and pulse-pounding prose.
Oh.
The Arm in the Fall, a novel by Gary Tangway.
Like, pulse-pounding tells me it's that thing's throbbing. Like, it's just...
it's ready to explode.
Pulse-pounding, baby. Pulse-pounding. That's what Tangway's bringing. Tangway's bringing that smoke in that book. You got to go read it for yourself.
So he's bringing the smoke now. It's Felger Mass, fully loaded show, 2 to 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, but
have a great afternoon.
Beetle, you doing a show from home tomorrow?
Yep.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.